KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's been another very busy week of news gathering here today that we'll be sharing on our news roundup day for Crosstalk. Thank you so much for joining us. And friends, we've got a lot of information to unfold in a very short period of time. We're going to get into our stories right away, but we need to be understanding of what is going on. And some of these mandates that are coming out, even through the shot mandate that is coming out on many different fronts. Some of the stories, of course, rather shocking, but not surprising, perhaps, as we know what is coming for the future. Here, as the scripture portrays, the mandates that will one day be there for a mark to be taken on the right hand or the forehand. One will not be able to buy or sell without it. Going to be worshiping the beast. Certainly we see the precursor to this right before our very eyes. Speaking from the White House yesterday afternoon, President Biden announced the new testing and mask mandates of all federal government employees. He wore a mask to the lectern before making his announcement. And then he said every federal government employee and on-site contractor will be asked to attest their vaccination status. Anyone who does not attest to being fully vaccinated will be required to wear a mask on the job, no matter their geographic location, physically distance from all other employees and visitors, comply with a weekly or twice weekly screening testing requirement, and be subject to restrictions on official travel. The White House released that in a fact sheet shortly before the announcement. The federal government employs more than 4 million Americans, including over 2 million in the federal civilian workforce throughout the country and across the world. These rules should not only apply to federal workers and on-site contractors. President Biden is directing his team to take steps to apply similar standards to all federal contractors. The administration will encourage employers across the private sector to follow this model. Called it a strong model. Well, USA Today indicates that his asking states and cities to use federal rescue funds to provide $100 payments to individuals to get vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus as an incentive for them to get the shot. The Treasury Department announced the move yesterday after releasing new rules allowing state and local governments now to use more than their share of, some $350 billion in direct aid from Biden's American Rescue Plan, reports USA Today. Biden also plans to develop the Defense Department to direct them, that is, to review adding the COVID-19 vaccine to the list of required vaccinations for members of the military. In addition, small and medium-sized businesses will be reimbursed for giving their employees paid leave so that their children and other family members can get the vaccine shots. Biden also will call on school districts to host at least one vaccination clinic in the coming weeks and direct pharmacies to work with schools to set up such clinics. Again, that's from USA Today. Yesterday, the White House press secretary, the fill-in there, the deputy secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked if the country is going to be shut down again. Yes, Fox News reporter Ducey asking the question. Here is the response.
President Biden said that we are not returning to lockdowns, shutdowns, and school closures. But he also once said that we didn't have to wear masks anymore once we were vaccinated. So why should Americans trust him now?
Well, because we listen to the scientists, we listen to the expert. This is a public health situation. This is not about politics at all. This is about saving lives. And this is what the president is all about. He wants to make sure that we are saving lives. If you look at, Peter, the last 6 months, that's what he's done every day. And you see that in the numbers. Now we're at a point where we have to double down and make it very, very clear to people that we can't let the pandemic win. We have to continue to fight.
So if you're listening to the science, if scientists come to you at some point down the line and say, it is our opinion that there should be shutdowns and there should be school closures, you would do that?
Well, we listen to, like I said, we listen to the CDC and the experts and their guidance. The CDC is a body that is very well respected.
Very well respected. And, whatever the CDC says, whatever they recommend, that's what we're going to do. They will not rule out shutting down this nation once again. They're not going to rule that out, shutting down schools once again. When we open phone lines later, I'd like to get your reaction to where this is all heading. As you heard previous here on this program about the door-to-door campaign that President Biden announced, and Governor Cuomo, he is taking that, just at its word. He just said earlier this week, we have to knock on those doors, we have to convince people, put them in cars, and drive them and get the vaccine in their arm. That is the mission, said Governor Cuomo. Well, here in the Philippines, a story, not physically here, but the story out of the Philippines, that the mayor of the city of Lapu-Lapu in the Philippines issued a new executive order that bans those who have not received a COVID-19 injection. Listen to this. He is banning them from entering supermarkets, groceries, department stores, and convenience stores. Effective August 25, 2021, only vaccinated persons, upon presentation of their vaccination cards, shall be allowed to enter public and private markets, including department stores, supermarkets, grocery stores, and convenience stores, read Section 4 of the documents. Well, there are protests, and by the way, that came to us from LifeSiteNews.com, from walls-work.org, we find that anti-lock and anti-vaccine passport protests erupted across Europe, and thousands upon thousands of demonstrators were seen in London, Dublin, Paris, Rome, Athens, other cities across Europe. Demonstrations in France appeared to be the tensest, with riot police firing tear gas as clashes erupted in central Paris. The reason for the protest? Well, in part due to the pending legislation in France's parliament that would set up a vaccine passport system as well as a vaccination mandate for all healthcare workers. The passport bill would force people to show proof of COVID-19 vaccination or a negative test result to enter restaurants and other public areas. And folks, we're seeing that happen right in our home city, in our the various medical facilities, one by one, are lining up. Yesterday, it was just Children's Hospital and Medical College of Wisconsin saying that every one of their employees will be required to have the shot. Liberty Counsel Matt Staver issued a release this week. This was released yesterday after the Department of Veterans Affairs sent an email to all employees mandating that all its healthcare personnel receive the COVID-19 shots. The Department of Justice issued an absurd memorandum opinion that completely ignores the law, Matt said. On July 27, 2021, the DOJ's Office of Legal Counsel issued a memorandum purporting to outline the legality of the federal government and private employers, educational institutions, and other entities mandating individuals receive the COVID-19 shots as a condition of employment, education, participation, or use of services. However, the memo, whether Section 564 of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act prohibits entities from requiring the use of a vaccine subject to an emergency use authorization. Clarity contradicts the law. None of the COVID shots are approved or licensed by the FDA. They came under the emergency use authorization, which means they cannot be forced or required, he said. The memo also states on page 1 that since December 2020, the FDA granted EUAs for COVID shots, and each of these authorizations, FDA imposed the option to accept or to refuse condition. The memo then correctly notes that the FDA fact sheet states it is your choice to receive or not receive the COVID shots. Despite the clear option to accept or refuse language, and despite admitting the FDA has publicly affirmed this option to accept or refuse, the DOJ memo says it does not mean you have the option to refuse. They say the option to accept or refuse, they assert, is meant merely by telling people that they have the option to accept or refuse it. And once told, people can be forced to take the shots. This is akin to interpreting the Miranda rights to mean once you have been told you have the option to remain silent, then you can be forced to talk. This is absurd, Matt Staver said. Coming to us from Western Journal. Union that endorsed Biden in the 2020 election is furious about his new vaccine mandate, yet it's the American Postal Workers Union. They issued a statement Wednesday that said forcing the vaccine on workers is wrong. Quote, maintaining the health and safety of our members is of paramount importance. While the APWU leadership continues to encourage postal workers to voluntarily get vaccinated, it is not the role of the federal government to mandate vaccinations for the employees that we represent. That's a statement from the union that they issued on their website. Let's see. This from townhall.com. On Tuesday afternoon, Centers for Disease Control officially recommended vaccinating individuals that they wear masks indoors. And for children under 12, the CDC wants a mask worn for hours inside the classroom. So why the mask mandate for children? Look no further than the teachers' unions. They've been lobbying the CDC to issue mask guidelines for students. In May, when the CDC repealed mask guidelines for the vaccinated, which they reversed this week, the country's largest teachers' unions insisted that kids still wear them. I'd like to mention here something as well. Would like to get another audio clip in if we can here. You know, it may be in our next segment. Let me continue on with a few more stories here. Three House Republicans filed a lawsuit. This is from the Daily Signal. Filed a lawsuit Tuesday against Speaker Pelosi after she enforced a mask mandate against them. The three, Representatives Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor, and Taylor Greene, and Ralph Norman, had fines deducted from their salaries after refusing to wear masks on the House floor. Among their claims is an unusual one, that the mask rule violates the 27th Amendment to the Constitution. That amendment reads that no law varying the compensation for services of senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. Very interesting tact that they're using. And we know that Speaker Pelosi has now ordered them to be worn through the U.S. Capitol in all aspects. And there are many who are standing up and objecting to doing just that. Okay, yesterday we told you about the Steelers and having to wear this yellow wristband. Well, according here to CNSNews.com, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers opened their training camp Monday of this week with a new protocol designed to single out players who have yet to receive the vaccine. Unvaccinated Buccaneer players are now required to wear yellow wristbands. Well, they're joining other teams evidently with that same aspect. It is being reported that the likes of Tom Brady and some others are refusing or not wearing the bands. Let's see, National Review. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is escalating his attacks on Dr. Anthony Fauci, telling National Review that the top NIH official should be removed from his post for refusing to acknowledge that the U.S. was funding dangerous virology research in China and for continuing to defend such funding despite the efforts of the past year. During several tense exchanges with Rand Paul, which we played last week, Fauci argued that the research being conducted in Wuhan with American tax dollars does not qualify as gain of function. From the Epoch Times, well, the founder of Shake Shack, Danny Myers, said that his Union Square Hospitality Group will require indoor diners and drinkers at its restaurants to show that they've been vaccinated against COVID-19. And also, we are finding that from Axios that Americans with long COVID symptoms might qualify for disability benefits here in the U.S. as well. Yeah, the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services new guidance says long COVID is a physical or mental impairment entitling people with the illness to discrimination protection under the American with Disabilities Act. Interesting indeed. More stories to come in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I just want to mention one more story here pertaining to the whole COVID issue and the shot. I was rather shocked. This is from a website, not the Bee. It's not the Babylon Bee. This is something that actually happened. There's a pastor in Maryland who is using the COVID shot as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear what he had to say. Because he talks about, we're here today because of a vaccine. It is our protection. It is our assurance. I want you to hear from him in his own words. This is from a Maryland PCA church, a Dr. Wayne Cook. Let's listen in.
Are you ready for this morning's opening metaphor? Prof. Cook is up here, so we're going to get a metaphor this morning. It takes a minute. Bear with me. I was thinking about it this morning. We're so happy to be here and unmasked. All we with unveiled faces, right, and to be together. And we were watching the Delta variant and all that stuff and worrying a little bit about whether we're going to be able to keep this freedom to meet together this week. And we're here together and able to be together because of a vaccine, largely, right, that we've been vaccinated. And that is our protection, our assurance. So here's the metaphor. We actually are here longing for something much more than just getting back to life the way that we remember it, being able to go on vacation, as some of our members have done, or go to a restaurant. And we have a much bigger problem, don't we, than the COVID coronavirus. Our problem is, how can we come into the presence of the God who made us, who we have sinned against, who we've disappointed? And if you look at the bulletin verse, you see the metaphor for the vaccine. We have a much better solution that allows us to be together, and that is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So as you look to your right and to your left and you see the person sitting next to you, we hope that that person is vaccinated. But we also hope that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them as we have the hope that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and by that Spirit, His love is perfected with us so that we have confidence in the day of judgment to draw nigh. And that's what we've come to do.
Did you catch that metaphor, folks? I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. I call him Cook, but it's Coke. As he spoke there, comparing the shot, the COVID shot, to the Holy Spirit. And how it goes through your body, and it's our protection, it's our assurance. Interesting indeed. There is another aspect, and yesterday Dr. Gene Orient referred to, you know, why don't we treat this the same way as, you know, HIV/AIDS? And I found it shocking because, and this was just on NBC Chicago, about Governor Pritzker signing a bill making Illinois the second state to repeal the HIV criminalization. Four bills were signed to expand the rights to LGBTQ community, they report. One of the most historic will make Illinois only the second state in the country to completely reverse the criminalization of Illinoisans living with the HIV virus. Before the bill signing, Illinoisans could face prison time and thousands of dollars in fines if they did not disclose their HIV status to their intimate partners. Advocates say that the law discriminated against marginalized communities and prevented people from getting tested, fearing legal repercussions for knowing their HIV status. Timothy Jackson, Director of Government Relations to the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, says medication has made HIV undetectable. Many people are being treated for the virus. But it says it's going to be a sigh of relief to not have your health condition used against you criminally, said Jackson. We've had people tell us, I'm not getting tested because if I get tested, I have to come back positive. I could potentially be charged with a crime. They're calling the laws archaic. Well, isn't that something that they're repealing this for HIV, a status, And before it required people to tell their so-called intimate partners about their positive status because of transmissibility, and how this new law undoes that so that it cannot be held criminally. And yet, are we not being told that those who did not get the shot are being acquitted as being murderers? We're hearing that from different public officials. Let's get on to some other topics here today. Newsmax.com. The Republican head of the Wisconsin Assembly Elections Committee said this past Monday that she will ensure there's a comprehensive forensic examination of ballots cast in the 2020 presidential election. At the same time, the state's nonpartisan audit bureau conducts a review. Also, from the Epoch Times, auditors in Arizona's largest county on Wednesday finished a third count of ballots and will shift to compiling a draft report on the audit results. The data gathered by the auditors will now be taken to their labs for analysis. Newsmax.com says Arizona state Republican leaders have issued a subpoena to the Maricopa County officials looking for routers and other data as part of the ongoing audit of the 2020 election. Here we have the Department of Justice warning against violating federal law with these audits. They're trying to stop these audits from taking place. And they said the reason we're issuing this as guidance is to tell jurisdictions. I mean, they're talking about fines, jail sentences up to a year for each violation what they would see as some violations. They said the reason we're issuing this as guidance to tell jurisdictions generally that we are concerned that if they're going to conduct these audits, so-called audits of the past election, they have to comply with federal law, and warning them that they can't conduct these audits in a way that's going to intimidate voters, a DOJ official told reporters in a call about the guidance. Isn't that something, how far we have gone with this? And by the way, Twitter is suspending the accounts linked to the U.S. election audits. Those who are putting out information pertaining to the audits are finding their accounts suspended, Newsmax.com is reporting. Let's see. This is from the National Review. Members of the House Freedom Caucus called on Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to expel Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger from the House Republican Conference. The Freedom Caucus members said that Cheney and Kinzinger should be ousted over their participation in the House Select Committee on the January 6th Capitol riot. Lawmakers argued that having the two in the GOP conference, which organizes House Republican leadership, committee assignments, and other matters, is counterproductive to GOP strategy. Well, the infrastructure bill did advance, and the Daily Caller points out that the Senate advanced this bipartisan, calling it bipartisan infrastructure deal Wednesday evening, voting to open debate on the legislation after weeks of tumultuous talks that had at times thrown the entire plan into jeopardy. After last-minute snags over transit funding and other issues, key negotiators announced they reached a deal. It passed 67-32. 17 Republicans joined with the Democrats in voting in favor and overcoming a potential filibuster as a result. The deal's passage now opens 30 hours of debate, setting up a potential final vote as early as this weekend. Now, keep in mind that once you break the filibuster and you got all roads to go ahead, I believe you only need 50+1 votes. The Senate Republicans who joined the Democrats in voting for this $1.2 trillion bill include Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr, North Carolina, Shelley Moore, Capito, West Virginia, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Jim Risch of Idaho, Mitt Romney of Utah, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Todd Young of Indiana, Chuck Grassley, Iowa, John Hoeven, North Dakota, and Kevin Cramer, also North Dakota, Susan Collins of Maine, and then Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota was absent, but he signaled he would have voted yes to advance the legislation. Newsmax.com, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib are blasting Kristen Sinema about the Arizona Democrat said that she does not support this $3.5 trillion spending plan proposed by President Biden and Democrat lawmakers. Ocasio-Cortez, in a tweet, responded to Sinema's opposition by saying, "The progressive Democrat wrote, 'Good luck taking your own party's investment on child care.' I shouldn't say not taking, but tanking. Good luck tanking your own party's investment on child care, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a 3-vote House margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color from negotiations and calling that a bipartisan accomplishment. George Soros, Fox News reporting, handing $1 million to groups attempting to defund police as violent crime skyrockets nationwide. $1 million. It's even reporting that the group is also backing this push by the Milwaukee City Council to defund the police. And we have here from the Free Beacon, the federal government provides tens of millions of dollars each year to nonprofit groups that support the movement to defund police departments and dismantle the criminal justice system. Officials with the Brooklyn-based Vera Institute of Justice have urged the government to radically dismantle police departments in order to fix a system they say dehumanizes people of color. The institute is heavily funded by the federal government so far this fiscal year. The DOJ and Department of Health and Human Services and other agencies have awarded this institute more than $89 million in contracts and grants. The organization has received $811 million in federal funding since 2008, according to USA Spending, a federal budget database. Hear what's going on in Minnesota? Fourth graders being told there, don't tell your parents about this equity survey on race and gender. Told they can't skip questions. Even if you don't understand the question, still fill them out. Story is really troubling. This is from the Daily Mail out of the UK. A class of fourth graders in Minnesota were given an equity survey about race and gender, but were allegedly told by a teacher not to tell their parents about the questions that they were asked, even if they didn't understand them. The survey conducted at Riverview Intermediate School in the Sartell St. Stephen School District in Minnesota by the Equity Alliance of Minnesota and comes amid a national debate on how to teach history and current events, specifically focusing on matters of race. Well, a student, Haley Yaskar, addressed the school board July 19th and told them she felt very nervous and very uncomfortable when her teacher instructed her not to talk to her mother about the survey. She also said she was not permitted to skip any questions, even if she didn't understand them. One of the questions is, do you currently identify yourself as female, male, transgender, and then it says transgender people have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from their assigned sex. For example, they were born male, but now identify as female, or do you identify as something else? A young boy in the class asked the teacher if his mom could explain the questions to him. The teacher denied the student's request, telling him that he could not ask his mother and that the class was not to repeat the questions to their parents. Haley spoke to the school board, let them know how uncomfortable and nervous she was. She explained that her mom always tells her she can tell her anything, but also tells her that she can trust her teachers too. She said that being told to hide this from her mom made her very uncomfortable, like she was doing something wrong. Folks, this is a fourth grade student being told by their teachers, don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Just a reminder here, a week or so ago, it was on the 19th, we had Ken Ham with us from Answers in Genesis regarding his book, Divided Nations, Cultures in Chaos and the Conflicted Church. If you recall that the VCY bookstore has significantly reduced this book through the end of this month, and it is available, but just a reminder, tomorrow is the deadline, and all the details at vcy.com. VCY.com, or you may call the bookstore. Many people tried, said we got a busy signal. The number 1-888-722-4829. Should be able to get through now. 1-888-722-4829. Well, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, microlenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today, and lots of stories, lots of issues going on. Just a few more before we open phone lines here today. We mentioned that infrastructure bill, by the way. Did you know that there's a $2.4 million allotment in this for a community beautification project? Just so happens to be in Adam Schiff's district. Isn't that interesting? Okay, here we have a story from... let's see, this is from LifeNews.com. House Democrats pass a bill to eliminate the Hyde Amendment. Makes America's fund abortions. This was the this is the first bill ever to eliminate the Hyde Amendment and force Americans to fund the killing of unborn babies in abortion. The vote, 219 to 208. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats passed the spending bill through that unless it's blocked by the Senate, will they eliminate the Hyde Amendment and other long-standing pro-life policies that prevent taxpayer funding of abortion on demand? The vote follows the passage on Wednesday of a spending bill that would force Americans to directly fund abortions overseas. Now, this Hyde Amendment is at stake. The House has passed it. It has gone over to the Senate. The question is, what will the Senate do? Will they reinstitute the Hyde Amendment that protects our tax dollars from not killing babies in the womb or not? You can reach out to your senators at this number. The House, or rather the Senate switchboard, is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. In other news, it's also reported that Planned Parenthood is so obsessed with killing babies, it made its president say abortion in every interview. Makaya Bilger has the story. Leanna Wen apparently believed Planned Parenthood's talking points about being a trusted healthcare provider. You know, that's what we keep hearing. We're a trusted healthcare provider. And so she would make efforts to go out and talk about things like women's health care and birth control and cancer screenings and other services. And after she did an interview on that topic, she was the insider reports that she was actually taken to task. According to her book that she has released, she said one board member texted her, said, next time, make sure you talk about abortion. You need to talk about abortion at every media interview, another leader said. You're the president of Planned Parenthood. Expect that from you. Not saying abortion sounds as if you're ashamed of it, a third Planned Parenthood leader told her. That's how important it is. So, folks, all this rhetoric that you hear, all this public relations campaign about Planned Parenthood, oh, all these wonderful health services we provide, no, it is all about abortion. Let's take a look at the Charisma News is telling us that Disney made television history again. Walt Disney Mass Media Company is at it again, and it's making television history. The organization introduced its first non-binary character in one of its Disney Channel series, Rain Whispers, appeared in Ida's Requiem, episode 7 of season 2 of The Owl House, on July 24th, a fantasy comedy that follows the story of a teenager in Connecticut who stumbles upon a portal to a magical realm and befriends a rebellious witch, Ida. Well, we understand they've introduced now their first non-binary character that is reported. Okay, also, I had a similar story, and maybe we will come across it here in just a moment. You know what the UN thinks about homeschooling? They're saying it might harm children. This is a column written by Alex Newman. It appears at IllinoisFamily.org. But as Brazilian lawmakers are working to recognize and legitimize homeschooling, home education that's been widely successful in the U.S. for decades, senior United Nations education bureaucrat, Italo Dutra, warned that homeschooling threatens to harm to children and adolescents. The UN's reasoning behind this scenario is that school is supposedly fundamental to guaranteeing the right to learning, socialization, and a plurality of ideas, in addition to being an essential space for the protection of girls and boys against violence. But by plurality of ideas, he no doubt includes the grotesque UN sex ed standards that would shock any normal person. Things that we can't even read about here on the Crosstalk program. Oh, yeah, here's the other Disney story. This is an actor says coming out scene. This is the Disney's new Jungle Cruise. Gay Pride Month may have ended in June, but Disney's push to indoctrinate your children with LGBT propaganda has just begun in its new movie, Jungle Cruise, features a scene in which the actor, his character, comes out as homosexual. During an interview, Whitehall, the actor, told reporters that he is proud and hopes that this scene means a lot to LGBTQ kids. By the way, the new amendment's been put forth here, requiring women to register for the draft. Family Research Council sent out an email explaining a Senate-approved amendment in Washington, D.C. The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that would require women to register for the draft. Wisconsin Family Council just put this out here this week. America has not used the draft since 1973, and we have enough men to fill draft requirements should a major conflict arise. We could approximately double the size of our armed forces to 5 million, for example, by only requiring 2.5% of the male population to serve. Should the draft need to be reinstated, randomly selected women should not be required to enlist ahead of able-bodied men. Well, at the U.S. Capitol, this new amendment passed through the committee of the Senate Armed Services Committee requiring women to register for the draft. And a second judo competitor was sent home from Tokyo after he refused to spar with an Israeli athlete. Isn't that interesting? Well, friends, let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. We've had a litany of stories here. If you'd like to comment on these or another current event story, the number is 800-733-9829. By the way, the LGBTQ Victory Institute, Out for America, they found a report and is an annual snapshot of the number of known out LGBTQ elected officials in the United States and their demographics, I should say. The Out for America 2021 report released in July 2021 reviews LGBTQ elected representatives as of June 2021. Across the United States, there are 986 known out LGBTQ elected officials in the United States. In the last year, LGBTQ elected officials increased by 17%, 986 currently serving. LGBTQ cisgender women state legislators surpassed the number of cisgender men state legislators for the first time. LGBTQ elected officials of color grew at a much faster pace than white LGBTQ elected officials. Queer elected officials grew faster with all other sexual orientations with an 83% increase. Non-cisgender elected officials grew faster than cisgender elected officials, with genderqueer, non-binary, and trans women elected officials increasing the most. And neither trans men nor intersex people saw an increase in elected representation. And friends, they're really pushing this, saying that we have to elect so many more into our legislative bodies here across the nation. They do mention the Mississippi, the only state in the nation with a zero known out LGBTQ elected official. 23 states have transgender elected officials and serving, and 29 states have non-cisgender elected officials. LGBTQ people are equitably represented among mayors of top 100 cities for the first time, with six, but are underrepresented among mayors overall. 84% of LGBTQ elected officials are Democrats, 3% are Republican, they report in their Out for 2021 report. Let's open phone lines here. Well, the lines are open. We'll take your calls here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with our friend Courtney in Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints today. And I just thank you for being on the air, and I want to lift up the name of Jesus. I just got a Bible tract from Bible tract, and it's Who Murdered Clarence? And it speaks all about abortions and how people are going to be judged in the end by Jesus Christ for killing their babies, because that's what it is. It's just plain, simple murder. Now, you can hear what Jim said today about how a little girl felt troubled about her teacher didn't want to tell their parents what they want to be taught in school. Parents, watch over your children, because Satan seeks for one thing, to destroy their soul in hell with him. So I thank God, and I also thank the lady in that takes the orders, because she gave me that 712-432-3486 number where I can listen to you on radio, because they've been cutting Crosstalk off the air for some days here off and on. So I just thank you all, and God bless every one of you. Have a blessed weekend now.
God bless you, Courtney. Thank you for your call. Zach is calling from River Falls, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, I just had a comment I wanted to make. And, you know, you see coronavirus new information about the virus all over in every store you walk into, on billboards, in the news and the media. And I just thought that wouldn't it be great if we could spread the word of Jesus Christ that same way, with the same curiosity,
yes,
and save souls?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, good point, Zach. And, you know, certainly that is our role, is to be salt and light and to spread the good news of the gospel and to harness on to the very tools that are used to get out the message. We've got the most important message that needs to be heard. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Let's go next to Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Dean, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a comment about abortion. How can a mom abort their baby when their mom did not abort them? It seems unbelievable to me that any woman would choose abortion. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Okay, Dean, thank you. Let's go to Marcia in Duluth, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to comment on a couple of things, Vic. When you realize that the sexualization changes in America started way back. I mean, we're talking about 50 years ago in the public indoctrination system, unaware of most parents even knowing that their children were being read, well, Heather has two mommy and Danny has two daddies. Are we surprised that we are in the mess we are in? I home educated for 20 years, and I got a long story, but by the grace of God, I was let out of even some private education situations. But parents have left their kids in the system to let them educate them. And there's the problem. I was an overly concerned mother in kindergarten with my 51-year-old when I decided I'm looking someplace else. If they won't listen to me when I have questions about what's happening with my son, then I don't need to be here and be abused like that. I'm overly concerned parents.
That's funny. Yeah. Thank you so very much. Up against a break right now. And, right now, homeschooling surging. It's been confirmed by the U.S. Census Bureau. Reported in March that the rate of households homeschooling their children rose by 11% by September of 2020, more than doubling from 5.4% just months earlier. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In February of 2018, I used my radio show and TV show to warn that President Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain had worked with Congress to create a commission on military, national, and public service. I warned that they were going to require women to sign up for the National Draft Selective Service. I also warned their goal would also be to make mandatory community service, where young people to get out of high school would have to do so many hours of community service, but it could only be with an organization approved by the government, not your church. In fact, previous federal legislation said the kids could in no way be involved with religious instruction or leading a worship team or maintaining a church building. What are they doing here? Brainwashing. Now this commission has released its report in March of 2020. Now it's been rolled into the Military Authorization Act and came out of a committee last week. They're now putting it into funding. This is on the verge of happening. Wake up, America.
FaithWire.com put forth a story here this week. This is Converse unveiling designer shoes with satanic symbol, replacing the brand star logo. Yeah, earlier this week, Converse unveiled a new limited edition collaboration with fashion designer Rick Owens through its brand Dark Shadow. The sneakers coming in several styles, featuring a pentagram in place of the iconic Chuck Taylor star. In a quote posted by Converse, Owen said he has been using this pentagram for a long time because obviously it has adolescent occult association. That is the headline. Converse unveils designer shoes with satanic symbol replacing the brand's star logo. Let's get back to the phone lines. Let's see. Sandra in Oostburg, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello. I have a lot of friends who are Democrats who I think are stupid. They don't realize what they voted for. And I've talked to them and go, oh, that could never happen. I received a pamphlet called Socialism in America. And I feel that's the best way to reach these people. It gives them the information that they don't know because they listen to that idiot and he says, oh, you know, he mainly points his finger at Trump. And then says all these, oh, it's New Green Deal and all this. I think a lot of people voted because they didn't like Trump, not because they liked Biden. So rather than throwing money at it, which the Republicans are doing, and they want to do telephone calls and mail campaigns, which just annoy people. So I would love to see them send out more pamphlets to everyone on socialism and communism in America.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra. And something we encourage each to do as well, to pray for the president. When is the last time you prayed for the president and the vice president and those that are in leadership and praying for the Supreme Court? Matter of fact, in just a couple of weeks, on August the 14th, we're going to be working with Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin, holding a day of prayer. A day of prayer coming together. Gathering early morning and going until mid-afternoon, having a season of prayer, praying for families, be praying for the church, and be praying for our nation and leaders as well. It's critically important that we do that. Scripture says that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If you'd like information about this day of prayer coming up on August the 14th at Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, southwest part of the state, you can go to trailridge.org and find the information there. It's free. Offering is taken to help cover the cost of the complimentary lunch, but trailridge.org is the website. Let's go to David in Superior, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Jim. God bless you and all the faithful brothers and sisters we have who listen. A special prayer for Courtney, too. It sounds like they're trying to cut off, so I hope that's not the case in that market, but you know, there's this proverb that says that those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Well, everyone likes to be blessed. You know, that's a no-brainer. But what the left are doing to themselves, and we have to pray for the president. Some of the prayers should be imprecatory prayers that he fails at what he's doing, but he comes to know the Lord Jesus and gets saved and reverses course. But what is happening now is the cruelty that's happening on the left is going to come back in such a volatile way to them, I believe. God's not going to stand for this. This is his nation. We have turned away from him in many ways, but I would just encourage all the listeners to share the station everywhere they go because this 2.5 hours here between Brandon and you and the next broadcast is very informative and such a great blessing that it's all based on the love of Jesus. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Let's go to Dee, who is calling in from West Bend. Dee, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. I have a concern. It's my understanding that China is not jabbing their people, and I thought I heard India has only done that to 3% of their people. Why is our country allowing, could somebody first of all confirm that if they know, and why would we do that and take medications from a country who claims to want us gone? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I don't have access to those numbers at where I'm sitting here at this point, but thank you for the call here today and expressing concern. Western Journal is reporting that when the CIA director, William Burns, looks at Afghanistan, he sees dark clouds heading America's way. He shared a gloomy assessment of Afghanistan's future in an interview with NPR this week. President Joe Biden announced this spring that American forces would leave Afghanistan and after almost 20 years. Well, throughout July, American forces have pulled back. Taliban forces have surged into areas once held by the Afghan government. Burns was asked by NPR's Mary Louise Kelly if the intelligence community really believes the current Afghan government will fall within 6 months of U.S. forces leaving the country, as some reports have indicated. He said, well, the trend lines that all of us see today are certainly troubling. The Taliban are making significant military advances. They're probably in the strongest military position that they've been in since 2001. Interesting indeed. Well, friends, also, by the way, there's a number of legal briefs going into the Supreme Court asking them to uphold the Mississippi abortion ban and to overturn Roe v. Wade as well. I'd like to close with a story, perhaps more on a positive note for you here today. From the Epoch Times, it tells of a high schooler making a difference. He ran a marathon. That's right. A group residence for homeless veterans in Colorado opened its doors July 11th, thanks in huge part to a massive fundraiser by a high school student marathon runner. The runner, a 17-year-old Michael Ferreira of Ringgold, New Jersey, ran the 26.2 miles from Sandy Hook to Spring Lake alongside veteran supporters Team RWB, that's Red, White, and Blue. Crossing the finish line 4 hours and 22 minutes, he was able to donate some $12,000 to Houses for Warriors, a Colorado-based nonprofit helping homeless and at-risk veterans access emergency housing and housing resources. A teenager making a difference, and hats off to him. Well, friends, I trust you, too, are going to make a difference in this time in which you live. It's no accident that you are here for such a time as this. Can we encourage you once again to be light, share the gospel, to be salt, to certainly have a preserving effect upon that which is around us as well as the moral fabric of our society is attacked? Be salt and be light and keep our nation in prayer. Be praying for our nation's leaders that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. A reminder, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.